Hey there, thoughtful listener. Are you looking for introductions to partners, investors, influencers, and clients? Well, I've had private conversations with over 2,000 leaders, asking them where their best business comes from. I've got a free video you can watch with no opt-in required, where I'll share the exact steps necessary to be 100% inbound in your industry over the next 6 to 8 months with no spam, no ads, and no sales. What I teach has worked for me for over 15 years and has helped me create 8 figures in revenue for my own companies. Just head to upmyinfluence.com and watch my free class on how to create endless high-ticket sales appointments. Also, don't forget, the Thoughtful Entrepreneur is always looking for great guests. Go to upmyinfluence.com and click on podcast. I'd love to have you. With us right now, it's Dr. Carla Fowler. Carla, you are the managing director of Thaxa Executive Coaching, of which you are the founder as well. You're found on the web at thaxa.com. That's thaxa.com. Carla, it's great to have you.
Hey, Josh. Good morning. Great to see you.
Yes, yes. Well, hey, before we get going and talking about the work that you do, the impact, and I love, obviously, you know, I feel like we're always operating in uncertain times. I think just maybe sometimes they feel a lot more uncertain than others.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a lot more feels about uncertainty happening right now.
I feel like we've had way too much uncertainty over the past 5-6 years. I want boring. I want to get back to a very boring, nothing going on kind of life. We'll see. But before we get into that, what I always love kind of learning what, you know, what guests have been into, been doing, you know, hobbies, vacations, movies, music, TV shows, like whatever they're into. I guess, what have you been into lately is my question.
Oh my gosh. I love this question. We most recently, so over about the past 2 or 3 years, my husband and I have been studying Portuguese. So doing language learning, which is so tough. And anyone who wants to be humbled, this is a great way to, you know, put your ego back in check.
Learn a foreign language.
Yes. Learn a foreign language for speaking.
And what platform are you using for that?
So we have done a mix of things. Duolingo is one, although that's Brazilian Portuguese, so they don't yet have European Portuguese.
I'm up to it. I'm up to day 183, by the way, of Spanish, Espanol.
That is a great streak. So I also use Pimsleur, which is like, that's like old school, but it's all audio. It's speaking and listening. I think of it as being a little like Suzuki learning, but for language. Like Suzuki is that learning method for music where you don't read notes. It's for really young kids. And you just listen and play. But we also have done immersion classroom learning in Portugal. So in Lisbon. And most recently, we in the fall, we spent 2 months working and doing language learning in Lisbon. But more recently, because we had no time for any vacation, like during the fall, we went back for 2 weeks about a month ago and just had fun. So we like wandered all over Lisbon. We took a bike trip down to the Algarve with some friends. And so that combines things I love, like practicing my Portuguese, being in the sunshine, and being on a bicycle or hiking or doing something like athletic outside.
Well, Carla, you have a BA in human biology. You have a PhD in immunology. You are also Dr. Medicine, MD from University of Washington. You are a learned woman, my friend. And if I could just get, I would love your opinion on this. When it comes to learning things, like, and you just talked about learning a foreign language, you know, it's interesting. Like I live here in Orlando, so I do have some opportunity for immersion. But it's interesting where I was just kind of telling people, oh yeah, you know, I'm learning the bass. I've been, you know, just celebrated my 2 year and learning a music instrument. I'm just having fun with it. Also with Duolingo, obviously it's just super fun. Is it the most effective way to learn? Probably not. You know, or the way that I learn a music instrument, but I'm enjoying the process. Can you maybe just share? I don't know if you have any insights on, you know, how important is it to be using the academically most rigorous, most effective way of learning versus, yeah, you kids just go have fun learning Spanish or something like that. Any
Oh,
opinions on that?
yes, I have opinions. And this is great because it actually ties back to something we did want to talk about also, which was like uncertainty. Because one of the things I think people are really encountering when we encounter uncertainty is a gap between what we know right now and what we might need to know to be successful. And crossing that gap always involves learning. So you've just brought up like one of the key questions here. And when we're out of school, we don't like the learning isn't sort of paved out in front of us anymore. So, in terms of do you have to be the most rigorous? Do you have to, or is fun important? There's two different ways to look at this. And I think it's useful to look at it both ways. Number one, learning something that has a lot of depth to it, where like maybe 300 hours in and you're just getting into the game. And I think language learning's like this. I think fun and enjoyability is really important because what we're seeing is you're on a marathon and it's going to require stacking up hours over days. And so if you don't want to be gritting it out for years, which generally speaking, like you see people kind of falling off that track of building things up, then you kind of want it to be fun. Now you need to put in enough time at it, but like it doesn't have to be the most rigorous. Now, let's do a different situation. Let's say like you are the leader of a business and you are seeing AI is coming, right? It's already here and you have a bunch of uncertainty about that. What does it mean for your business? What does it mean for how you do things, for your job? And one of the things is that many of us did not go to school for anything super techie. And so we have a learning journey in front of us. Now, if you're running a full-time business, you don't have a lot of time to not do something in kind of a rigorous way. And so I often ask the question, like, well, if you need to learn something and how it's going to impact your business, how you might use it or leverage it, I often like to say, what is the highest first impact hour you could put towards learning that thing? And sometimes that looks rigorous. You could certainly take a certification on, you know, whatever. How is, let's just say, AI impacting accounting, the accounting field? But a lot of times, the highest first impact hour is something like, who do you know in your network who's an expert? Can you sit down with them and ask them like five great questions to get the lay of the land? Can you spend an hour asking ChatGPT questions to understand like some basic stuff, maybe even before you go chat to that expert person, where now you can bring your more personalized questions to them. Sometimes it's read a book, but I often find there's a YouTube video that will like get you a lot of information in a shorter period of time. So sometimes we need something rigorous, sometimes we need something really potent. Duolingo is not potent, but it is fun and it gets people going back to it day after day after day. So that's I think it depends on your use case. How much time do you have? How long do you have to be learning about something? And that's how I make that decision.
Awesome. Carla, we want to talk a little bit more about uncertainty. And it seems as though my thesis here is that uncertainty is the norm. Like
Yes.
we're swimming in uncertainty. What is certain? Nothing is certain.
Right.
So if we cannot necessarily ever truly have certainty, how do we adjust our expectations so that we stop expecting it and we kind of just as leaders kind of execute in the best way we can, given all the best available information.
Well, I think one of the first things you said is right now is a wonderful time to like create some perspective around, well, what really is certain ever? Why did things feel more certain to us before, let's say before the past 5 years? So one of the things is actually to remember that uncertainty is the feeling we have when like something we care about is at stake. When we feel like there's a gap between what we know or what we can reasonably expect to have happen and it's not happening, It can also describe how we feel when we're reacting to a bunch of stuff, as opposed to feeling like, oh no, we're like ahead of the game, like super proactive. And so, one of the things, just perspective-wise, that I often remind people is that the whole reason, like, we read a good book or we go to a movie is precisely because we don't know what's going to happen. We watch a football game. Right? Like that part of the excitement and the opportunity in life is all related to the fact that there is uncertainty. Now, depending on how much we think stuff we care about is at risk versus how much we feel like, oh, there's something to be gained, that often determines are we feeling good about the uncertainty and are we perceiving it, or are we feeling bad about that uncertainty? But I am very applied. I'm an applied scientist. So I really like to go towards action and like, well, what do we do about that? Sometimes we're going to feel that uncertainty, sometimes we're not. But what are practices that can really help that leaders can do and kind of build into how are they leading, how are they living? We already talked about one of them, which is you got to keep learning stuff. So it's worth figuring out how do you carve out a little bit of time to start learning about the things that are coming that you don't know about. But the second two practices that I recommend. One is that we often have to deliberately think more and react less. And what I mean by that is we feel like we're thinking a lot because we have a lot of like thoughts and feelings that are kind of chattering in our mind, but we often actually need to slow that down because our instinctual, reactions are probably what we learned or served us in the past, but in the face of what's new, sometimes our heuristics from the past are not useful to us. We're going to need to do something in a new way. And so,
Got time to update the operating system.
yes, exactly. And not unlike your computer when you're like, oh, spinny circle, or like the little line going across. It takes time. We got to slow ourselves down. And so I recommend to people that you start to practice having some moments where you deliberately say, I am going to stop doing other things and I'm going to think. And it can help sometimes to have some prompts, like, for example, what in my business or my leadership would be most valuable to be spending some time thinking about, right? Either like what feels most at risk or what feels like the biggest opportunity? What do I not know a lot about that I could start thinking about to even figure out what I might learn about? So it kind of helps having some prompts. What's taking up all my mind share? What should be taking up all my mind share? That's a nice pair of questions. But really, it's just kind of like get out of your email, turn off your notifications, get a notepad or just an empty text window, and just do a little bit of thinking and writing. And the writing helps us convert brain swirl into actual words we can process. And that's why I recommend whether you type or you handwrite, put it into language and you will get a lot more clarity. And I think that's how you stop the external from driving you and you start that internal engine driving you again.
And I wonder too, I know for myself, if I feel like I am being externally driven like a lot in work, I'll be frank, I start to get resentful. And that's probably not too uncommon.
Well, and if none of us do our best leading when we are like feeling resentful, or like we're on a treadmill that we're not controlling. Absolutely.
Not fun.
Nope.
We just have a couple minutes left, Carla. Tell me about how you work with your clients. Like, what do you do? You've been in business, by the way, congratulations on 12 and a half years.
Thank you.
You're quite good at what you do. Carla, do you mind maybe describing a little bit about that?
I am very happy to. So I am an executive coach and I work with leaders typically who are at the level like director level and above. But mostly it's about like we're really responsible for driving kind of what happens. And so that can look different for different people. But and really my goal in setting out was in the coaching world was to bring some performance science into it. So to say, hey, we have a lot of great ideas. There is good literature out there. We're continually testing and refining it. And I, as an applied scientist, was like, leaders have a tough job, but a really important job. And it is possible to thrive while you're doing it. But wouldn't it be great to have all that information kind of distilled and and a thought partner to work with them and help them source and use the best ideas in science that's out there for the goals they're trying to achieve, the results they're trying to produce, and the teams they're trying to lead. So that's what I've been doing for the past 12 years, and it has a ton of depth. I continue to learn just how to think about performance, how do we break it down so it's usable for people, and so they can use it to solve their challenges and go after their opportunities.
I love it. Carla, your website is thaxa.com. Somebody listening to a conversation, they want to learn a little bit more about the work you do, or I don't know if you have resources you'd recommend. What's next for them?
So definitely my website is a great place to go. There's a good FAQ there. It's also one place you can find lots of different conversations I've had with wonderful people about performance science. So I've got a list of different podcast interviews that I've done. I am also on LinkedIn, and that is a great place to follow along if people are interested in just learning more. I'm trying to produce content there, just bite-sized ideas or thoughts on performance and leadership, just to be helpful to everyone who's taken up that mantle.
I love it. Carla Fowler, again, your website, thaxa.com. Carla, thank you so much for the conversation. Thank you for the work you do.
Awesome. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks for listening to the Thoughtful Entrepreneur Show. If you are a thoughtful business owner or professional who would like to be on this daily program, please visit upmyinfluence.com and click on podcast. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program every day. Together, we are empowering one another as thoughtful leaders. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this program, if you're looking for introductions to partners, investors, influencers, and clients, I have had private conversations with over 2,000 leaders asking them where their best business comes from. I've got a free video that you can watch right now with no opt-in or email required, where I'm going to share the exact steps necessary to be 100% inbound in your industry over the next 6 to 8 months with no spam, no ads, and no sales. What I teach has worked for me for more than 15 years and has helped me create 8 figures in revenue for my own companies. Just head to upmyinfluence.com and watch my free class on how to create endless high-ticket sales appointments. Make sure to hit subscribe so that tomorrow morning, that's right, 7 days a week, you are going to be inspired and motivated to succeed. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you for around 15 minutes every single day. Thanks for listening, and thank you for being a part of the Thoughtful Entrepreneur Movement.